listen, the preacher loves you. He's glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. But if you ain't here for Jesus, you need to check up. Acts chapter number 16, I will begin reading back in verse number 16. And I'll read a few verses and then with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach. In verse number 16, if you don't understand the story here, this is the story of the Apostle Paul. Luke is writing, I believe, and he's writing the history here of how Paul and his missionary journeys, and we're going to pick up in the middle of the story. Excuse me, after he'd done answered the Macedonian call, amen, what we call the Macedonian call, which is when Paul went over to Macedonia, he had a vision, and he got over there and he met a woman named Lydia. And in verse number 16, he's over there preaching and sharing the gospel. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, that a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. She's demon possessed is what's going on. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Sort of like America, they was happy. They didn't mind the demons because it was helping them get dollars. Sort of like America today, amen? We put up with a lot of demonic activity because it's helping us make money. Amen, preacher? I just thought I'd drop that. It said the same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now, what's going on is these devils speaking through her. I'm just giving you a little background as it goes. It's interesting that a lot of Christians don't know much about Jesus, but the devils know about Jesus. Those demons know about Acts 19, they said, you know, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? The demons, man, they knew. Those unclean spirits, they knew Jesus. Y'all all right? Yeah. But verse 18, and this did she many days. But Paul, what she's doing, she's through the demonic activity, she's chatting them, she's coming to them. It's not a pleasant thing. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. How about that? And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the roof. This is a whole other message, but it's amazing when it was going to cost them something. They didn't care if that little girl was bound by the devils. When the devil come out and it was going to cost them something, they was ready to be done with Paul and Silas. And verse number 20 says, they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. It's interesting. They were out there preaching the gospel. The devil was cast out of the girl. The girl, listen, spiritually got some help. She's going to be a new person. Are y'all with me? Amen. And the people of the city was upset because it's going to cost them a few dollars. Listen, Paul and Silas were not out harassing people. Paul and Silas were not out causing trouble. They were out preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 25, the Bible says, and at midnight. And at midnight, and that's what I want to preach on this morning, at midnight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I need you this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I pray you'd help us. God, I pray you'd help each person speak the hearts of life. There may be some here this morning that's not saved. And then, Lord, there may be some that here that are saved and knows it, but they're discouraged. Lord, they're weary in the journey. God, I pray you'd give them grace and help them through your word and by your spirit. We'll thank you. We'll be careful to praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Here they are. They're preaching the gospel. The devil's cast out. Hey, people's lives are being changed. The city's being helped in a big way, spiritually. But it's costing them money, so they take Paul and Silas and they drag them before the rulers of the city, the magistrates, and they beat them. And verse number 24 says that they thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stock. And the Bible says in verse 25, at midnight. And I'm interested in that phrase, and at midnight this morning. You know, hey, listen, understand, this morning they weren't out causing trouble. They weren't out living like the devil. They were in the perfect will of God.
They had been led where they were by the Spirit of God. They had followed the Lord's will. They had got where they were. They were doing exactly what God wanted them to. And now they wind up in prison. They wind up beat. They wind up ridiculed. They wind up falsely accused. And here they are in the middle of a prison at midnight. Now, when you look up the word midnight, you'll find out that midnight has the idea of being in the midst of the night or in the midst of darkness. It's in the dark time. It's in a time of crisis. It's a time, listen, where, hey, listen, it's the absence of light, the absence of daytime, midnight, in the midst of the dark, in the midst of the night. And listen, you've probably been there, listen, or you're probably going there, or you're maybe even there today. How many knows what I'm talking about? You've had a midnight hour. How many knows? You say, preacher, maybe this morning you're in the midnight hour. And you say, preacher, it's dark. You say, preacher, people's coming against me. I'm trying to live for the Lord. I'm not trying to backslide. I'm trying to walk with God. I'm in the will of God the best I know how. Listen, contrary to the TV preachers, you can be in the will of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You understand? They shall suffer persecution. Hey, listen to me. Just because you're serving the Lord, just because you're in the perfect will of God, just because you carry a King James Bible, got a good military haircut, hey, dress right, look right, spit right, smell right, just because you love the Lord and go to church doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles.
Right.
Understand? Sometimes that very stand you take is going to cause those troubles. Understand, the Bible says over in Timothy, he said, yea, that all and all they that will live godly, if all they includes me and you. That's not, listen, that's not just the Christians over in India or China.
Right. Yeah, right.
We got this American philosophy, the preacher, I'm serving the Lord, oh, I have a Pontiac. A preacher, I'm serving the Lord, oh, I have a big mansion. I'm serving the Lord, oh, I have a brand new clothes, and oh, I have all the friends, and oh, I have a big fat place, bank account. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yeah.
You listen, friend, Christian, you're going to have times in the midnight. You're going to have midnight. You listen, I hate to tell you this, but even though you're saved, you're going to have times that, listen, it's going to hit you. I'm telling you, life's going to smack you upside the face. Somebody said, the devil's on my back. I don't know about the devil because he can't be but at one place at one time, but he'll have a lot of demons hounding you. Listen, he'll come after you and he'll try to discourage you, and you're going to seem like it's the darkest hour, and sometimes he'll drive you to your knees. But I got news for you, when he drives you to the knees, that's exactly where you need to be. You say, preacher, what do I do in the midnight hour? What do I do when it's dark? Preacher, what do I do when I'm in a time of despair? What do I do in a time of crisis? What do I do when it seems like my family's against me? What do I do when it seems like the church is against me? What do I do when it seems like all the forces of hell are after me? What do I do, preacher, at the midnight hour? And at midnight. Watch your Bibles in verse number 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas began to murmur and complain. Is that in yours? If it is, you might have the wrong one. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas called the preacher. Are you with me? The Bible says, and at midnight, listen to me now, they had been preaching, they were beaten, they're thrown, listen, not only into prison, but into the inner prison. I mean, in the Roman times, hey, that jailer, he had a charge on him that if anybody got out, the charge that would come upon them would come upon him. So if a man was in there for capital punishment, and listen, he was going to be deserving of death, and he got loose, that jailer would be put to death. He didn't just throw him in the prison, he threw him in the inner prison and put shackles on his feet, locked him up tight where they wasn't going nowhere. Many of us, you don't know what kind of shape I'm in, but you don't understand how bad it is. Preacher got done with me. I'm in the dark midnight. It's dark where I'm at, preacher. Yeah, it gets dark once in a while, friend. I'm not making light of your situation. What you want to do? The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I just want to stop and say I want to thank God. Listen. I hate calling somebody and getting that beep, 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 beep. Y'all ever get that? Or nowadays on these cell phones, you call somebody and it'll ring a couple times, and they'll pick up and say, the number you have dialed is not a serviceable number, or it's out of service, or some kind of junk like that. And you wonder, man, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all got towers on every corner, man. Why can't you get my phone call through? Y'all with me? The worst one is you pick it up and call somebody you need to talk to, and you hear, "Hello, this is Joe. Please leave a message." And you say, "That ain't Joe. That's a stupid computer." Are y'all with me? But I got news for you, friend. There's a number. Listen, there's a number you can dial and you'll never get a busy seat. There's a number. Listen, Christian, there's a number you can dial and you'll never hear, "I'm too busy. I'll call you back later."
Amen.
Listen, there's a number you can call and you'll never hear, "There's no service." Amen, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Amen. That's still in the book, friend. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great mighty things that thou knowest.
Amen.
What he's saying is, he said, "Call me and I'll answer." That's the King James is hard to understand, preacher. What he said was, "You call, I'll answer."
Amen.
If you ain't been to school past the sixth grade, you know what it means. If you call, I'll answer. Help me out. Adam, do you know what that means? That means if you call God, He'll answer.
Amen.
Call! Right. Oh, y'all are with me. Right. Hey, I'm saying at midnight, hey, keep on praying.
Amen.
That's point number one if you're taking notes. Hey, at midnight, keep on praying.
Amen.
Call unto me and I'll answer. At midnight, Paul and Silas pray. Hey, Jesus says in Luke 18:1, the Bible said He spake a parable unto them saying. What did He say? He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, "Preacher, but it's dark. Preacher, but it's hard. Preacher, but..." Let me ask you a question. Have they beat you? Have they ever thrown you into prison? I doubt you faced anything like Paul faced in Acts 16. That's Philippians there. Hey, are you with me over here, Brother Jody? What I'm saying this morning is, I just feel like preaching this morning. Hey, at midnight when it's dark, Brother Jerry, keep on praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, "Preacher, but it's hard. Preacher, but they cussing me. Preacher, but you don't know how. I don't. Listen, there's too much money at the end of the money. I don't know how we'll make it, preacher." Hey, keep on praying. Hey, you faint, you wither away. Listen, it would have been real easy, Brother Robbie. It would have been real easy, Brother Steve, for Paul and Silas to say, "Well, I love the Lord and everything, but He just wasn't blessing me, and the church wasn't good to me, and I just think it's too hard. I just think it's too hard. Well, I'm out here in this prison, and you and Paul could have said, I'm down here, and John and Philip and that rest of that bunch down there said that they ain't none of them been by here."
Right.
Pray. Keep on praying. Listen, Brother Benny, when it gets dark, pray. Are you with me? At midnight. The Bible says that at midnight,
amen,
Paul and Silas pray. Luke 5, they come to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Teach us how to pray." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 5, you can read it later. Hey, Luke 5, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then He gave them that model prayer. And then He started talking about if a man had a friend, he went to his friend, and he said, if he come to him and said, "Listen, I need some help," about verse number 5 of Luke 5, and I'm going to just tell you what it says, basically. He said, if you come to your friend, and your friend says, "Hey, listen, man, I ain't got nothing for you, go back to me." He said, but if he comes to him, he said, not just because he's his friend, he said, but because of importunity. In other words, persistence. If you keep coming to him, driving him crazy, he said, your friend's going to answer you. Then he goes on and he says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Hey, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." He said, everyone that asketh shall receive, everyone that seeketh shall find, and everyone that knocketh, he said, that it'll be opened unto thee. Amen. What's he talking about? He's talking about praying. He's talking about, hey, ask and keep on asking. He's talking about seek and keep on seeking. He's talking about knocking and keep on knocking. I'm telling you, listen, friend, it's going to be some dark times, but in the darkest of night, amen, God's still got a promise that's bright. Amen. I got news for you. Hey, in the dark of the midnight, have I all fit my face? Listen, you can hide your face and you can call up on the God of heaven and He'll answer you.
Amen.
Keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing. You reckon maybe he had that mind that over in Acts 16, pray without ceasing. He's looking over at Silas, Paul, what are we going to do? Paul said, I don't know but one thing to do. Hey, they ain't no hotline. They ain't no welfare. They ain't no DSS. Y'all wait. Paul, what are we going to do? Paul says, the only thing I know to do, Hey, listen, hey, Silas, the only thing I know to do is Jeremiah 33:3. Let's call him up.
Amen.
333. Hey, I got news for you. 333 is better than 911 any day.
Right.
Hey, man. Hey, at midnight, Paul and Silas pray. Hey, let me tell you something. You say, did they get through? Oh, yes, they got through, friend. Pray without ceasing. You'll understand that don't mean that you've got to always be on your knees with your head bowed and your eyes closed praying. Now listen, if you're driving down the road, you can pray, and when you are, please don't close your eyes.
Right.
Matter of fact, Jesus said, watch and pray. Amen? It'd be all right. Listen, it'd be all right to pray. I used to know old preacher. Some of my family's here, they know. He'd stand up and pray. Us kids watch him when he prayed. Because when he prayed, he was wide. Everybody else had their heads, had their eyes closed, their heads bowed. And that preacher, he prayed with his eyes wide open. He said, Jesus said to watch and pray. And I'm just simply saying, I don't care if your eyes are closed, I don't care if you're laying down, kneeling down, standing up. Listen, there ain't a bad posture, there ain't a bad place. Listen, there ain't a bad time. When you need help, pray. Amen. Pray. The idea is to be in a season and a spirit of prayer all the time. Be in connection with Him. And I understand the Old Testament over Psalm 66:18, I believe it is. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
So keep your sins confessed. Amen. Stay, hey, keep the line clear. And call it. At midnight, listen, friend, I just want to encourage this morning. At midnight, you can pray. Just keep on praying. Paul and Silas kept praying. You say, preacher, what are you saying? That sounds kind of simple. I'm saying when it's dark and when you don't think there's no way out. And when you think you don't know who to turn to, what to do, you can look up. You can pray. Keep on praying. Not only did they keep on praying, but number two, the Bible said, watch this, this is real complicated. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and what's the next phrase say? And sang praises. That's in there. And sang praises. You say, what are you saying? Praises unto God. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying not only keep on praying, but when it's dark and it's midnight, keep on praising. Keep on praising.
Right.
Glory. Where Paul said, 1 Corinthians 5, said they pray without ceasing. The very next verse said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. In everything. Paul said over there in Ephesians 5, I believe it's Ephesians 5, in verse number 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things. Amen. It's getting real now. But preacher, it's hard. It's dark. My family's against me. My friends have turned their back on me. It's hard. I don't have money. I'm going through the hard time, preacher. I don't have nothing to praise Him for. I like what Billy Kelly said. Hey, sometimes just praise Him on credit. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What did he say? He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. And I'm blessed. I'm going to praise the Lord. I know we Baptists, amen. The Bible says, hey, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You all right?
Amen.
You say, where do we praise Him? Well, we praise Him in the sanctuary. We praise Him in the congregation. Hey, we praise Him everywhere, all the time, for everything. You say, preacher, you don't know how hard it is. Hey, keep on praising Him. I don't have time to go through it this morning, but over there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, I challenge you to go home and read it. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, Jehoshaphat was up against the hard time. Hey, and the Bible doesn't say Jehoshaphat said to the army, hey, get your sword sharp, get your guns loaded. The Bible says Jehoshaphat went to them, and he said, hey, let's praise the Lord. And the Bible said when they began to praise the Lord, I'm going to just read it. I'm going to read you one verse, 2 Chronicles. Y'all hold on. Y'all all right? 2 Chronicles. I just want you to know I'm not making this up. Hey, this ain't this. Listen, I'm talking about the sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13. That is the fruit of our lips, giving praise unto His name.
Amen.
Second Chronicles chapter number 20. Hey, watch this. Second Chronicles chapter number 20. And I'm just going to jump in there and read about verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The enemy, listen to me, here's what happened. The enemies of God's people were going to come against God's people, but God's people got to singing and praising God, and they woke up and they come after God's people and they got to fighting each other. And the Bible says in verse number 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked under the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. You say, what happened, preacher? Hey, God's people got to praising the Lord, and God's people's problems took care of each other. Don't praise them. Keep going through the hard time. I'm telling you, sometimes you can praise the hurt away. Sometimes you can praise the storm out of town. Amen. Hey, Joshua and Jericho, he told them people, we just praise the Lord, we just shout. And when they shouted, the walls fell. You say, preacher, are you shouting to go to heaven? No, I'm shouting because I get to go to heaven. Amen. Preacher, are you shouting to be saved? No, I'm shouting because I am saved.
Amen.
Some of y'all don't get it. Psalm 150. I'm trying to help you. If you learn this, it'll help you. Psalm 150. Listen. He said, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery harp. Praise Him with the timbrel dance. Praise Him in the string instruments and organs. Understand that dance, that word dance. Don't get crazy now. That word dance in the Bible, it ain't talking about doing the boot scooting book. That word's talking about leaping and twirling and running. That's what the idea in the Hebrew. They come down to them. They was praising the Lord. Oh, God's been good. You said, preacher, are you praising? No, that's what they did. And he said, praise Him. And I just wanted to help somebody with a question. I'm sure they did. I've had them come to me. It ain't talking about, I waltz across Texas. No, I ain't. Listen, God ain't in that.
Right.
God, I said, God, that ain't praising God.
Right.
You ain't praising God looking up on somebody else's wife, sir.
Right.
Hey, young people, you ain't praising God at no prom, hugged up on somebody that ain't your wife.
Right.
Half-dressed, listening to rock music. Oh, I don't have, I'm getting off on that. I guess prom time's coming up, ain't it? Mom and Daddy, hey, no, over my dead body, you ain't going down there half-dressed, listening to rock music, hugged up on some boy, got hormones raging.
Right.
If you love them, you'll tell them no.
That's right.
Amen. Praise Him. I don't know how I got on that. Help us, Jesus. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise that music's too loud. The Bible says praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's the Pentecostals. That's the Methodist. That's the Baptist. That means breathing. Anybody breathing?
Amen.
We better call the court. Brother Steve, call your friends. I need some help this morning. We got a bunch of dead people in here. They ain't breathing. Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Praise, watch this, ye, the Lord. Preacher, I'm just a teenager. It'd be all right if some teenagers were to shout, praise the Lord. I'm saying this not only in the good times, but in the bad times. I'm telling you this. Oh, here's what I'm saying. I can imagine Paul and Silas down there, they're locked up, man, they got their feet shackled. Brother Steve, I should have got you to illustrate this for me. You got some handcuffs with you? Hey, he's probably slicking his chop. Preacher, I'd love to put a hand in. No, watch this now. They're down there in the prison, they're locked up, feet bound together. I don't know if y'all have ever been there or seen anybody in that situation. That's not a real high emotional time for somebody in that situation. That's not a time when they're saying, oh, it's fun. I love it. God's been good to me. And at midnight, I'm talking about it's dark spiritually. It's dark physically, amen, at midnight.
Y'all all right? Here they sitting in prison, in a prison. Man, they ain't no way. And I can hear Paul. Hey, Silas, we've been praying for a while. Hey, how about this one? Amazing grace, how sweet sound. Silas, hold on, Paul. I like that next verse that says, 'Twas grace they brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. What about that? Paul said, hey man, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King.
Amen. Amen.
What they was doing down there, they wasn't pouting, they was shouting. Hey, what they was doing down there in the prison, they wasn't pining, they was praising.
Amen.
What they was doing down there in the prison, they wasn't complaining, they was counting their blessings.
Amen.
What they was doing in there, hey, they wasn't sulking, they was singing. It'd be easy to sit in the dark times and to sulk. Listen, I've been to talk to some people, and listen, if you want to know how they are, oh Lord, just ask them, because they're just waiting to dump it on you, man. Hey, you're scared to ask somebody how you're doing, because they're fixing to say, beep, 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 I got a load that goes right here. Listen, hey, amen. The Bible says we ought to bear one another's burden, but goodness, He didn't say dump them every time you come to church. I'm talking about it was a dark time, Brother Rod. I'm talking about it was hard time. I'm talking about Paul and Silas was in the dark time. And they was praying and they was praising the Lord. I'm saying keep on praying. Keep on praising the Lord. Listen, praise Him when the church is packed. Praise Him when it's you and your family. Praise Him when people's getting saved. Praise Him when they ain't. Praise Him when you got a lot of money in the bank account. Praise Him when you're broke as the preacher. Amen. Listen, I'm saying this. Praise Him. You can't praise Him. I like old song we said, just can't praise Him enough. Keep on praying, keep on praising. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises unto our Lord. You say, well, that sounds all right, preacher. That's just emotions. Let me tell you something. In the dark time, when you praise the Lord, that's not emotions. That's commitment. Are you listening to me? Now listen, there's a danger of emotions, but we ain't got much danger of that around here. Think some people that the only time they praise the Lord is when everybody else is praising the Lord or when they're at church. Listen, they wasn't in church, they wasn't in the choir, they wasn't in a nice hot service. They was in a hard time. They was in the prison, they was in the dark of midnight. Listen to me, friend. God will help you when you learn to praise Him in the dark. Trying to help us. When you learn to say God's good, even in the valley, when everybody's forsaken me, when the persecutions come, when ain't nobody around, when I can't call the preacher, and you just learn to throw up your hands and start praising the Lord, watch what happens. Oh, you say, preacher, no, that ain't nothing to that. Well, the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So it must have been audible, just to help y'all out. They must have been praying and singing and praising out loud. Well, preacher, I praise the Lord, but you just don't hear me. Well, the prisoners heard them. Oh man, that went over like a lead balloon. And suddenly, watch this. And suddenly, not at 12 months, but and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Old Mace Jackson's preaching on Jailhouse Rock. Preaching on Jailhouse Rock. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. What about that? As a result of praying and praising, people were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I told you a while ago, he was going to get what was coming to the prisoners if they got loose. And here he was, he's about to kill himself. And watch verse 28. Verse 28 says, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now, listen, me and you, we'd have run like scared rabbits. Let me be honest, they preached, if the doors would have went over, my cycles would have fell off, I'd have run. Rest of you fires. Or you can't run. Watch it now. Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." In verse 29, he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul's house. And verse 30, it said, he brought them out. And watch this in verse 30. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let me say, that's why God's got us here as Christians. He's got us here to shine the light, to help them, to show them how they can be saved. Can I just help you out? You might be going through a midnight hour so that others may see Christ in you in that midnight hour, so that when you're in the midst of it and you're praising and praying, they might come to you and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hey, what do I got to do to get what you got?" Just a thought here. Maybe God's letting you go through the dark time so that you can shine the light for somebody else. But if we're murmuring and complaining, "Man, you just don't understand, praise. You just don't understand. It's so hard. So hard and everything. It's hard. Sometimes it is hard. I'm not negating that. Sometimes life's hard." I mean, how many would have said, "Sometimes life's hard"? Right. I told my wife the other night, I said, "Hey, life pastoring ain't for sissies." Amen? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, life ain't for sissies. Right. Let's be honest. Hey, sometimes life's hard. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes the Christian life's hard. Sometimes the devil fights me and says it's all in vain to try to live the Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. How many knows it's hard? Sometimes he fights. Keep on praying. Keep on praising. And listen, you might be a light for some. Watch what happens. Number three, and I'll be done. Keep on praying, keep on praising, and keep on preaching.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? They said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's what he said. He said to Paul and Silas. It's interesting. I'm caught up on this. It's interesting why he came to Paul and Silas. Those other prisoners there, remember all the prisoners hurt? Why did he go to some of them other prisoners and say, "What must I do to be saved?" He must have saw something in Paul and Silas. He must have got something in that praying. He must have heard him praise to some God that he didn't know.
Right.
Hello, Tokyo.
Right.
He saw and heard something in Paul and Silas that he didn't see and hear out of them other prisoners.
Right.
Well, preacher, everybody lets one slip once in a while when it's hard. Well, Paul and Silas wasn't cussing.
That's right, preacher.
They wasn't grumbling. Preacher, God will forgive me. Yeah, he will, man. Your life ought not be that.
Right.
But they saw something in Paul and Silas that they didn't see in them other prisoners.
Right.
"Sir, what must I do to be saved?" I like this. They kept on preaching. Listen, you know why they got put in that prison, didn't you? Because they was preaching Jesus. And guess what they did in the middle of that prison? Believe. And join the church and get baptized and keep all the customs of the Jews. No, he didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you threw me in here for preaching." He said, "Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He said, "Preacher, what did he say?" I'll tell you what he did. He gave him a message. He kept on preaching. Hey, he kept on preaching the same message that God had thrown into prison. Hey, in the dark. Hey, the one that took him to the dark. He kept praising him and praying to him and preaching it in the dark. I'm telling you, it was real. He wasn't just on an emotional high. Pretty crazy. No. Watch it now. I just do. He kept preaching. Watch this. What was his message, preacher? Well, number one, his message was a simple message. Believe. What do I got to do to be saved, preacher? Believe. That's real hard, ain't it? Believe. He didn't say get baptized. He didn't say join the church. Are y'all with me here? He didn't say keep the Ten Commandments. He didn't say get a long skirt and a short haircut. No. He said, what must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe. That's simple. Is that simple? Believe. Now we understand, hey, believing is not passive. Believing, faith, true faith, it has some actions. And true faith results in some actions and some results in it. But believing, place your confidence, place your trust in Jesus. That's what he said. That's simple. Believe. Watch this. Not only is it simple, but it was saving. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I don't know where y'all come from. Where I come from, shalt be saved meant sure enough that's going to happen. If I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou might be saved, it might happen, it might not. Hello? But Jody, you understand that? You got it, don't you? Man, you understand that? All the rest of them's good. Thou shalt be saved. Let me tell you something. You keep praying, you keep praising, and when they come to you and say, what you got? You say, here's what you do. You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a saving message. It's a simple message. Hey, watch this. It's a scriptural message. You say, what do you mean it's scriptural? Verse number 32 says, and they spake unto them the word of the Lord. They spake unto them the word of the Lord. When they said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the word of the Lord. That was the word of the Lord. Joel had already said, it should come to pass that they call on the name of the Lord, shall be delivered. Acts 2. Hey, I think it was Acts 2. Peter already preached. Hey, it shall come to pass today that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Daniel is a scriptural message. Listen, the message is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I like this, Brother Robbie. Not only was it simple, not only was it saving, not only was it scriptural, but this message was a sweeping message.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? He said, watch this. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Watch this. And he didn't stop there. He said, and what? And all thy house. Does that Bible say that?
Yep.
And thy house. Hey, watch now. And thy house. And thy house. Verse 32, and they spake unto the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took, watch verse 33. Hey, he took the same hour of night and washed the stripes and baptized he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Then you say, preacher, what's that talking about? Is that saying when daddy gets saved that the kids are automatically saved? That's not at all what that's saying. That's not saying when you get saved, your kids are saved. What that's saying is, if it's good enough for daddy to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, it's good enough for your youngest to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He said, listen, hey, listen, he won't only save you, but he'll save the rest of your crew. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. But if your youngins will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your mom and your daddy will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've got to believe, it's personal.
Yeah.
But watch this, I'm done. Hey, Miss Allen, come on. Their message was immediate. They didn't have to wonder what we're going to do. They didn't have to say, oh, well, I'm going to call the preacher and ask you what you're going to do. They asked the question, what am I going to do? What must we do? Immediately, hey, Paul and Silas, they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to read the book. They didn't have to call theological seminary. They just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Is that immediate? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
That's immediate. Hey, watch this. Not as immediate, but that's impactful. That'll make a difference. You believe, and he'll save you.
Amen.
I just want to go on record, and I want to say thank God the moment I believed and trusted Jesus, he saved me.
Amen.
I got news for you. He made a difference in this old boy. Brother Mitchell was talking about Sunday school. He said on the outside he didn't have a whole lot of change. He called himself a Pharisee or whatever before he got saved. He said he was already religious and looked good on the outside. And I look all right on the outside, but I got news for you. There's a lot of things on the outside need to be changed. There's some things that come out of my mouth that didn't need to come out of my mouth no more.
Right.
Man, I still believe a Christian don't go around with filthy mouth all the time, cussing and slurring and swearing and using filthy four-letter words. A saved person. Hey, listen, you may slip up once in a while, but that won't be your lifestyle.
Right.
What I'm saying is the message that you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ, he'll make an impact. He'll change your life for him.
Right.
I said, He'll change your life.
Amen.
Hey, He'll make you watch His path from death unto life. In other words, you was dead, now you're alive. He'll take you, the Bible says, just like you've been blind and now you can see. That's what old blind man said over in the Gospels. He said, I don't know much about him. He said, that's what I do know. He said, I know I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Hey, he said, I know I'm mad, but he made a difference.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hey, listen, you meet him, he'll make a difference in your life. Not only was their message immediate, not only was their message impacting, and friend, he'll make, well, preacher, he just ain't changing me like he changed you. He's wanting to, if you're saved. One or two things, either you're rebelling against him or you ain't saved to start with. And number three, this message was inclusive. It included anybody who believed. Like I know you say, preacher, I don't know if God saved me. If you're sitting here breathing this morning, if you want to be saved, God will save you. You say, I don't know if He'll save my neighbors. Why don't you go over and find out? You say, preacher, I don't know if He'll save my loved ones. I don't know if He'll save my mom and my daddy, my brothers and my sisters. Man, preacher, you don't know how bad they are. They drink, they cuss, they do this. Why don't you go over and knock on their door and just ask them if they ever heard that God loved them so much they sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross, and if they believe on Him, they'd be saved. Why don't you try? Maybe the reason they ain't getting saved is because nobody's telling them the message. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 1, hey, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, it is the power of God, it's the power of God unto salvation. The Jew person also did the Greek to everyone that believes. Go ahead and start playing, Miss Haley. Softly. Maybe the reason nobody's believing this is because nobody's hearing the gospel. I got news for you. The gospel ain't lost the power. The gospel still got the power. The gospel's still the good news. I wonder tonight, maybe you're in the dark. Maybe you're in midnight. Maybe it's midnight. Maybe you see midnight coming. You say, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. It's hard. I'll tell you what to do. Keep praying. Keep praising. And keep preaching Jesus. Keep praying. Keep praising. Keep preaching Jesus. Keep praying. Keep praising. Keep preaching Jesus. You say, but preacher, keep praying. Keep praising. Keep preaching Jesus. But preacher, you just don't but keep praying and keep praising and keep preaching Jesus. It'll make a difference. It'll make a change. It'll make an impact. And it can include everybody around you. Because others will see the difference that God made in your life. And He'll use you to make a difference in their life as well. Let's stand all across God from heads are bound. Eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart. What am I going to do at midnight? What am I going to do? Keep praying. Keep praising. And keep preaching Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we thank you. God, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, your faithfulness. God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Oh, God, speak to hearts and lives. God, make a change that only you can make. God, save souls that need to be saved. Oh, God, for those Christians that maybe struggle. Don't know what to do. God, I pray you help. God, I pray you to encourage your people. Help them. Lord, I pray you to serve them. Keep on being with them. God, I pray for that one that may be close to hell. Maybe they're lost. Maybe it's a church member. Maybe it's someone that's not saved. They even made a profession. God, I pray this morning you to help them to see. They need Jesus. Oh, God, help them see they need Jesus. Me too. Thank you, praise you, Jesus, precious name.